Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday new shiur for Parshas Matos and Maaseh. This week we have a double sedra, Matos Maaseh, which is the longest single Kriyas HaTorah in the entire Chumash. This week we finally catch up to Eretz Yisrael. We finished the book of Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar. We catch up to Eretz Yisrael. We've been behind Eretz Yisrael by one sedra ever since Pesach. You may recall that Shri Shal Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, was on Friday this year. So in Eretz Yisrael, that's the end of Pesach. So the next day, Shabbos, they went on to the next Parshas Shavua. We have an Achron Shel Pesach. We have an extra day, an eighth day of Pesach. So we, here in Chutz Laaretz, on that day, that Shabbos, when they went on to the next Sedra, we laned a special Pesach laning, Aser Taser, Kol HaBechor, and did not move on to the next Parshas Shavua until the following week. So we've been behind Eretz Yisrael ever since. Why we don't catch up until now is a discussion for another time, but the bottom line is in Eretz Yisrael, they laned Parshas Matos that last week, and they're going to lane Parshas Maaseh this week. We're going to lane Matos and Maaseh together, so we all catch up finally. Okay, so I'd like to focus on tonight is something which emerges from Parshas Maaseh. I entitled this year, Owning Land in Eretz Yisrael and Birchas HaMazon, are Kohanim and Levim included? Sounds like a strange question. What does one thing have to do with the other? But bear with me, and we'll try and understand and hopefully come upon something interesting. Here in Parshas Maaseh, we find that toward the very end, in Parak Lamed Hey, starting in Pasuk Aleph, the Torah tells us that cities were to be set aside for Shevet Levi, the people of Shevet Levi, the Levim, the Kohanim, to live in. Pasuk says in Parak Lamed Hey Pasuk Aleph, the Rosh Moshe Ba'arvos Moav Ayidein Rechole Moav. This is in the plains of Moab, right on the eastern bank of the Jordan River. This is right before, again, it's the end of the 40 years. They're going to go into Eretz Yisrael shortly. So Moshe was commanded, Tzavis Meshav Benosnu La'Levim, you had to set aside, in every Shevet, had to set aside certain cities for the Levim to come and live in. And Umigrosh L'Arim, Migrosh means like some kind of field on the outskirts or a land outside the city. That's a simple understanding. And as Pasuk Gimel says, they would live in the cities and animals, and someone could graze in the field surrounding the city. The next couple of psukim describe exactly how much outside the city you have to give them. It gives the whole measurements, how many amas and so on, had to be set aside. And then it says in Pasuk Vav, what are the cities? V'sa'arem asher titnu la'levim es sheish are ha'miklat. The cities to be given to Levim were the six are miklat, the cities of refuge, to which a person who killed somebody by accident, an accidental killing and didn't have any premeditated feelings against this person, and so on, you killed somebody by accident, described also here in our sedra and elsewhere too. So they would run to these cities, six are miklat, three on the eastern bank of the Jordan, three on the western bank of the Jordan, fine. So it says again in Pasuk Vavah Paraklam and Hey Ve'esa Arim Asher Titnu La'Avim Eshesh Arim Hamikla Asher Titnu Lanuz Shama Rotzeh, and then Va'aleim Titnu Arboy Mushtayim Ir. Aside from those six cities which were given to Levim to dwell in, they were to be given an additional 42 cities, as Pasuk Zion says, Kol Arim Asher Titnu La'Avim Arboy Mushmona Ir, total 48 cities, Eshen Ve'es Migushay in the cities, and again the fields, the land, a certain amount of land outside the cities as well. And it says in Pasuk Ches how much each tribe had to give, dependent upon the size of the land that the tribes got and so on. So these were the 48 Ari Levim, the six Ari Miklat, plus 42 other cities, a total of 48. If you look in Sefer Yehoshua, towards the end of Sefer Yehoshua, when it describes all the land and the borders of Eretz Yisrael, where each Shevet lived, it mentions what all these cities were that were given to Levim. Okay. So Levim had 48 cities. Why did the Levim have to be given any cities? So we know, because Shevet Levi did not inherit a particular portion in any one area of the land like the other Shvatim did. Back in Parshas Korach, second source, Bamidbar Perek Yudches Pasuk Chav Dalet, speaks about giving certain gifts to the Kohanim and Levim, and it says at the end, Al Kena Marti Lahem Besoch Bnei Yisrael Lo Yin Chalu Nachala. No Nachala, no land was given. No Nachala was given to the people of Shevet Levi, and that was repeated again in last week's Sedra, in Parshas Pinchas, in Source 3. The Torah describes, in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, as you recall, was a census taken of the Klal Yisrael again at the end of the 40 years, and Shevet Levi was not counted, they were counted separately. Pasuk Parakov Vav, in last week's Sedra, Bamidbar Parakov Vav, Pasuk in the Zion, says, Ve'elef Fekudei HaLevi, here's the tribes of Levi, and at the end, Pasuk Samach Beis, it says, Levim were counted from the age of 1 month and above, And in the second half of that pasuk, parakavav pasuk samach beis, kilo haspak du besoch bnei Israel, kilo nitan lahem nachla besoch bnei Israel. They were not counted in the census together with the rest of the bnei Israel because they were not given any land, any particular inheritance. And Rashi explains again there in Parshas Pinchas, parakavav pasuk samach beis, lo haspak du besoch bnei Israel, because everybody else was counted from the age of 20 and up. The Levim were counted from the age of 30 days and up. And the reason is because the other people were counted in terms of who was eligible to inherit land from the age of 20 and above. Okay? But they were counted differently. Umat Tam says Rashi, next Rashi. They were the ones who inherited. So Shevet Levi clearly got no land to, it was set aside not for Shevet Levi. So instead, the Psukim here back in Source 1 described that they had to be given certain cities to live in. They had to live somewhere. They weren't going to live nowhere. Right, so Shevet Levi wasn't given a particular territory, but they were given throughout Eretz Yisrael, scattered throughout Eretz Yisrael, 48 cities, the six Ari Miklat, plus 42 other cities. You look at the Gemara in Makos, Testament Bay, Source 5, Tanar Vanan, Shosh, Arim Hivdil Moshe Be'ev Ardin. The first three Ari Miklat Moshe himself set aside on the eastern bank of the Jordan, right? Remember, they conquered the, eventually, again, as in this week's said in Parshas Matos. Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh settled on the eastern banks of the Jordan River. It's called Eber LeYarden. So three cities were set aside there. And later on, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, Kenegda and Hibdol Yoshua, Eretz Canaan, Yoshua set aside another three in Eretz Canaan. Well, Moshe never got in, so he couldn't do that. But Yoshua went in and to finish the job, put set aside the other three cities on the western side of the Jordan in Eretz Yisrael proper. And Rukavanos, how communities say Shosh Rukarim. They were parallel to each other, like three, you know, rows in the vineyard, right? Two rows in a vineyard, three, you know, vines each. So it was set up parallel to each other. Rashi explains, Elu Neged Elu, fine. Okay, those were the six cities that were set aside. They, again, it's described in Sefer Yoshua. So the Gemara and Daf Yud Amud Aleph asks, Zohar 7, Besuleka, what do you mean, didn't have other cities besides, didn't the Levim have other cities besides those six? Vaksiv Aleim Titnar Boim Ushtayim Ir. Right, they weren't just six Ari Miklat. Actually, there were another 42 for a total of 48. And the Amar Abaya Halalu Koltos, those other 42 cities also could be Ari Miklat, where someone who killed unintentionally could run and be safe from the family member, the Gol Hadam, and so on. But there's a halachic difference, which is not our topic tonight. But it says the other cities would only work if you went there b'chavana, B'das, for the purpose of getting away and so on, and the six Ari Miklat would work either way. Again, Rashi fills in the blanks there in Makas Yudam Alav, Ben Shabarach Shom L'Das Klita, Ben Shabarach Shom L'Odas. Okay, again, a certain detail. Of course, where do we see that all of the Shevet Levi, I might have thought only the six were Ari Miklat, not the other 42. Apparently, all 48 could serve as Ari Miklat. Again, with the limitation that the Gemara says, or the distinction the Gemara presents, again, not our topic tonight, but the bottom line is all 48 cities, the other 42 as well, could serve in a certain sense as Ari Miklat. Where do we see that from? So it's interesting. The Gemara has the Pasuk, the Ari Miklat are introduced for the first time in Parshas Mishpatim. Shmos Perkhaf Ala Pasuk, your base source 9. It says, Make Ishramei Smos Yumas. You kill somebody, you murder somebody, meaning intentionally, then Mos Yumas, you're put to death. It's a capital offense. However, in Pasuk Yud-Gimel, Basher Lo Tzada, but there was no premeditation. If it was an accident, well, Elokim Inal Yado, just a Kadosh Baruch Hu worked things out. You killed the person by accident. You were chopping a tree. Torah lady gives example, you know, and then the axe handle flew off or something like that. There was no negligence. Then, Besamti Lechamakom, Asher Yano Shama, I'll set aside a place. Right? Besamti Lechamakom. So Rashi comments, Parshas Mishpatim is way earlier in the Torah. So Parshas, look in the source 10. Right, you didn't want to hurt the other person, you had no intention to kill him, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu just arranged things that way. So, because you could wonder, what if somebody killed someone that was in the desert for 40 years? They weren't supposed to be there for 40 years, but they were, however long they were there, what if somebody killed somebody unintentionally in the midbar, right? So there was Ir Miklat in the Midbar too. What do you mean Ir Miklat? They had no cities at all. They lived in the desert. So Rashi says, "Ve'ezom makom kolto zem machane Levia." It was the camp where the Leviim resided. That's where in the Midbar served as the Ir Miklat for the unintentional killer to go to. And that's based on the Gemara Makas Yud based on the Aleph and 11. Tanur Rabbanan, Samti lecha makom, Samti lecha bechayecha, makom mimkom cha. You Moshe, right? Moshe is the speaker here. So Moshe was a Levi. Like Rashi said, that in the Midbar, Machane Leviyah was the place, the Miklat, with the city of refuge, a place of refuge where they could go. And Rashi explains, there in Makkos and Beis and Aleph, right? Kana Yiftiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something else. Moshe will have this chus to set aside some of the Arba Miklat later. But meanwhile, Mokom and Komcha, the second Rashi says, Shia Machane Leviyah Koletes, right? And Ve'af are a Miklat, you are a Leviyah. So the future also, wherever the Leviyim live, that's how we know it wasn't just the six Ari Miklat, but the other 42 Levi cities also served as Ari Miklat, because we have the model already in the Midbar that wherever the Leviyim live, that's where the Ari Miklat were. So since the Leviyim in Eretz Yisrael lived not only in the six Ari Miklat, but identified the other 42 cities. Well, again, there's a halachic difference in the two, not for now, but that's what emerges from that Gemara. The Ritva there in Makkos Yud Beis and Aleph says, Dimas HaMokom, the 13th, look at the second half. Klom shkomash yigla b'midbar machan leviyah. Gam shu ari miklat ari leviyah. In the future, wherever the leviyim live, that will be ari miklat. Okay, fine. So that's the background in terms of ari miklat. So the Mishnah in Makkos, the Mishnah begins on Yud Beis Amud Beis in source 14. We're interested in the part that continues on the next page. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, second line of 14. Did the people who, let's say, a shogeg harotzech b'shogeg, somebody killed somebody unintentionally, so he's going to run away now to the ir miklat. Did he have to pay rent to the Leviim who lived there? So this is a machlokas in the Mishnah. 14. Malim hayu schar Leviim. The Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says, yes, had to pay rent. Of course, you know, you don't come get to live rent free. So somebody had to come into any of these 48 cities to, because he was an unintentional killer. And he came to the city, Rotzech Peshogeg. So Malim, he had to pay, to the Leviim. However, Rameir, I'm a lawyer, Malim Aschar. Rameir disagreed. No, you didn't have to pay. Now, what exactly is the payment we're talking about? This seems to be Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says there in Makkos Gimel Aleph 15, Malan Hoyu Ha'orim Schar LeLeviim SheRotzchim Sochem Emesbote Adira. The surrounding cities from the Shevet who gave these cities to Leviim, they would have to pay the Leviim. Apparently, the actual Rotzchim didn't have to pay, but the Leviim had to be compensated, and so it was set up. That's how the Sfasemis explains there, that explains that Rashi in Makkos Yud Gimel Aleph. Sfasemis says 16, Divrei Maaseh Mishnah, Malam Hayuschar, what do you mean? L'chor yuchol Leviim, l'halav zirosim b'yam b'damim. You know, how would they say, the Leviim could charge exorbitant prices, right? The guy runs to save his life into the Ir Miklat, and he wants to live there for a while till the death of the Kohen Gadol, so the Leviim could charge whatever they want, right? So that's what it says, no, you have to set up a bezin, as it said, l'chor near the koyal or emes v'v. It means that this was set up in advance when the cities were given to the Leviim, like we learned from the Psukim and Ar Sedra back in Source 1, that this every city had, every Shevet had to give from their portion to Leviim. So it was set up that it was a certain amount was given for in case Rotzech B'Shogeg would live there. That's how the Sfasemis explains. Shetzrichin Mikodna Be'ez Hafroshes Ta'arim live knows Diras Halalo Avorot had to set up some kind of a hotel or something. Had to set up some kind of a building in the cities of Leviim in case it was a Rotzeach B'Shogeg. So it's not exactly that they paid the Leviim for the renting their home, right? The Leviim didn't have to rent out their house to somebody who came, but they had to have a place within the city. And that's what Rashi means, because that's a look back in the Rashi in Source 15. Malim Hoy Ha'orim. Didn't say that the Rotzeachim themselves had to pay, the cities around them had to pay. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns a little different. It wasn't talking about rent. It's talking about municipal, what we might call municipal taxes. Look in Tosfos Makkos Yud Gimel Aleph 17, Divrei Maaseh Malim. Malim hayu schar Leviim pirush rotzchim haboyim v'dorim sham tzrichin lahalos mas v'arnona. Mas v'arnona, taxes, head taxes. Again, we might call municipal taxes. You're going to live in this city, so someone has to pay for the police department, the fire department, the roads, and whatever else. So if this rotzach is now living in town, so that's the machlokas. Did they have to contribute to municipal, we might call municipal taxes or not? That's the question. Okay, the lotem exeres hamelach halavim lakim some yirds. It's not fair to Leviim that they have to sustain all these people who are not contributing to taxes. Now, what does Tosfos hold about rental? Tosfos seems that there's no machlokas about rental. So we go either way. Tosfos could say renting they didn't have to do, or could say renting they did have to do. Okay, Tosfos learns that has to do with taxes. Okay, but anyway, bottom line, it's a machlokas in the Mishnah. But they had to pay, let's look like Rashi for the moment, whether I had to pay rent or not. Did a Rotzeach have to pay rent when he came to live in the city? Or did the surrounding cities have to pay rent or not? Rabbi Yehuda says, Malam Harishchar Leviim, or they had to contribute taxes, the way Tosfos learns. And Rameir says, nope. And that's a question. What would Rameir say about, according to Tosfos, about other, about paying rent. It's not clear, really, from Tosfos. Okay, now, the Gemara modifies this machlokas, because the psukim here in Parshas Maaseh continue in source 18, in Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Yud Aleph, it mentions again about the Ohel Miklat specifically. In the first group of sources, in source 1, we read about the Ohel Leviim, that they got the 6 Ohel Miklat plus 42 other cities. Now, talks a little bit about the Ohel Miklat, and it says, Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Yud Aleph, source 18, V'krisam Lachem Ohel Miklat Tiena Lanus, Lachem Lanus Shama, V'nos Shama, Rotzeach Makenefesh Bishkogo. That's who's eligible to run to the Ohel Miklat. Somebody kills someone by accident, okay? And that's where he lives. And Yud Gimel, V'har Mashatinu Sheish Ohel Miklat Tiena Lachem. Okay, we already learned that the difference between the 6 and the 42, right? The 6 you could live in, Rotzeach Bishkogo lives there. When he realized he had to go, they didn't realize he had to go, that he's safe. And the other one required kavana. But here the Gemara mentions something else on Yud Gimel and Aleph there in Makos 19. Amar Rav Kana, machlokas b'sheish. The whole machlokas in the Mishnah, according to Rashi, where they had to pay rent or not. According to Tosu, they had to pay the tax or not. That's a machlokas in the 6. The Mar Savar Lachem Leklito, Mar Savar Lachem Lechol Tzorcheichem. Because how do you learn in Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Yud Gimel, the last word, Ar Miklatena Lachem? What does Lachem mean? He said, that's the machlokas. Lachem Leklita means that the cities are yours, you know, that you're safe there, you can run there to be safe, but it doesn't mean you're exempt, you know, from everything else. Or the other one is Lachem Lechol Tzorcheichem. Okay, whatever you need, you can have there without having to pay anything. Avo Ba'arboi Mushtaim, continues the Gemara, Divra Hako Ayumalan Moschar. But as far as the other 42 cities, that for sure, you had to, according to Rashi, you had to pay rent. Or according to us, you had to pay the taxes. Okay, that's Rav Kana learns like that. However, right, there's Rashi, Machokas B'sheish Armikot Lachem Roshim Nemar Vayol Lachem Armikot. That's the pasuk. Fine. But that's Rav Kana. Rav Kana says in the other 42 cities, Avadia had to pay rent to Levium. Just a question about those 6. Okay, however, Amalei Rava, what do you mean? Havadei Lachem Lechol Tzorchechem Mashmah. Lachem means everything. Ela Amar Rava Machlokes Barboi Mushtayim. The Machlokes in the other 42 cities, where they have to pay rent or not according to Rashi, or they have to pay tax or not according to Tosis. The Mar Sava Aleim Titnu Kihanach Lekito, Mar Sava Aleim Titnu Kihanach, Manach Lechol Tzorchechem, Avhani Lamin Lechol Tzorchechem. But the Pasuk says, Va'aleim Titnu, if you look back in Source 1, when it mentions the other 42 cities, back in Perek Lamed Hey, at the end of Pasuk, where is it now? Just a moment. Yeah, Pasuk Vav. It says, Va'aleihem titnu arboi mishtayim. Another 42. So the other 42 are just like those 6. All the same rules? Or no, it's just that they can run this. So that's the machlokas. And therefore, it says it concludes the Rava, the Avo B'sheish, but the other 6, Devakol, lo hayumam lemspar. Everybody agrees you don't have to pay rent in the 6, those special 6, or you don't have to pay taxes in the 6. Okay, that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas with Kanan Rava. All right, anyway, Tosa says there, Matis Gimelav 21, Lachem Lachotzim, the Ain Tzrichim Lalei Shum Dover Leviim. Okay, Lachem Lachotzim Chechem, that's how you learn. You don't have to pay anything. According to that opinion, you don't have to pay anything, not taxes, not rent, nothing. You don't have to pay anything. That's what it looks like from that Tosa, according to that opinion. In the 42 cities, at the Machok, they're talking about the 42. Okay, but according to them, in the 42 cities, you have to, according to the first opinion, in the 42 cities, you don't have to pay anything. Okay? The only Machok is what about in the 6? And the other, and Rubber learns all the way around. Okay? In the 42 cities, I'm sorry, everybody holds you do have to pay rent. The Machok is in the 6. And the other way, Rubber learns, no, in the 6, everybody agrees you don't have to pay. The question is in the other 42. And according to Ramey, the other 42 don't have to pay a nickel. Okay? And the Rishalmi, now, who do we paskin like? Right? So we have Klolim in the Gemara. Machloka, you know, let's say Machloka is Beisham Beisil. We usually paskin Beisil. We have certain Klolim. The problem is it's not clear this Machloka is Huda Ramey, whether those are the correctly identified speakers or not. So the Rishalmi in Makos in Perek Beis says as follows, okay, 22. Tani Yehuda Omer leMachlokas Nitnu. Another Machlokas. Machlokas means not Machlokas argument. Machlokas Chaluka, a portion in the land. Okay, and really, this is the crux of our discussion. When we say that the Leviim are given these 42 cities, to what extent were they given those cities? They mamish owned it, like you know, Shevet Ruvain owned his land, and Shevet Zvulun owned his land, and Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Yehuda. Is that what it means? Okay. So that's the opinion of Bermuda. Bermuda Omer lemachlokas nigna. Machlokas again, meaning their land. Okay, they owned it mamish like any other land. Okay, like anyone else owned land. They didn't get their own general territory, but within those cities, they were the absolute owner. Rebbe Omer lebeis dira nigna. No, the Levim were given these cities to live in, but they didn't own the land. The land was owned by whichever Shevet it was in. The Levim had the right to build houses and to live there and keep the animals in the fields and so on and so forth, but didn't actually have full ownership of it. That's the Machlokas, according to Yerushalmi. Then it says, V'sayi Rabbi Yosi, Yehuda, Rameir, Kedaite. And guess what? This Machlokas is linked by the Yerushalmi to our Machlokas. The Tanayin, Malos Haus Chalavim, Divir Rameir, Yehuda, Omer, Lo, Malos Haus Chalavim. So notice Yerushalmi is the exact opposite who the speakers are. And Shalmi has it, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir is the one who says that they had to pay rent. If you look back for a moment at the Mishnahs, we have it in 14, okay, the Mishnah Makkas, you can go, Malam Harishchal and Diba Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Malo Hayu Malam Ashkar, Malam Ashkar. Here it says the opposite. So that's a big question, who the speakers are. That's going to make it tougher to figure out who the Paskin like. But in any event, the Machlokas revolves around the question, all right? I look at the Karban Eda there in Makkas Park Bay's Halacha Yid, his arrangement. Okay, he says Hachi Garcina. Again, a whole question of the gears of who the speakers exactly are. The second one, Asir Kabiyot, the Rebbe Asir Kabiyot, the Masnisin, the Amar Sharoskim Tzvichem Alaschar Levim. Rameir Lashita, so the Amar Sharoskim Ladir in it. No, no. Rameir says he switched the sheets around. Rameir says no. The cities of Levim were given them to live in, but they were owned it. And that will, says the Karban Eda, explaining the Yerushalmi, explain this Machlokas of whether or not, in fact, someone who came and lived there had to pay rent. Okay? If you hold that the cities were given to Levi and Mamish, it was their city, Savannah, someone who comes in has to rent. Let us say that the other six cities are different farm. We'll talk about now the majority, the 42. Okay? Avada, if it's their land and their cities and so on, they have full ownership of it. So somebody comes in, he's got to pay rent. But if you hold the other sheet, whoever the other sheet is, again, a question of who the speakers are. If you hold like the other sheet, no, they don't own the land. They would have the right to live there. You know who else has the right to live there? Someone who killed Bishogeg, as the Torah says. They don't have to pay rent to Levi. It wasn't their land. You follow? Now, it's a question of the guy built a house, kind of just walking and squatting his house, but certainly had to find a place to land. Maybe like this was on the Sfasemis, they had to build certain homes or whatever for the Rotzchim to run to. But in any event, the bottom line is that's what the Pneimosha, the Kobanei, the Pneimosha also in 24 is saying that he has also a question of who the speakers are, Machlokas, you know, Rabbi Yossi is like, Rabbi Meir is like, who do I, again, you'll work out the sheet. The bottom line is, look in the Pneimosha, the second Pneimosha in 24, the Moshe Chol Garcina, in his arrangement is Makkas Park Beis Halacha Zayin. He says, the Machlokas is, on the second line, the second last line of 24, Rabbi Yehuda Shishat Shitase. And therefore, he learns, whoever the he is, whoever the speaker is, he learns that it belongs to Levim. So someone who lives there has to pay rent. The other opinion is, no, it doesn't belong to them, so therefore you don't have to pay rent. So that's the Machlokas. So that's interesting. Again, a question we Paskin like. Okay, and it may relate to that Machlokas Rashi and Tosas, whether you're talking about rent or you're talking about taxes. Get back to that in a second. Let's look in the Rambam. Hilchos Rotzech, Parakhes, Halacha Tes, 25. Kol or Elevim Koltos, that we said before. Every one of the 48 cities would save a Rotzech Meshogeg, an unintentional killer. Everyone counts on Aramikli, learns the Pesukim, like we said. And Halacha Yuri writes, what's the difference with Kavana? But look at the end, what's most relevant to us. Okay. Verotzeach, last part of Halacha Yud and Parakhes and Ilchus Rotzeach. Verotzeach, Hador Ba'ar Miklad, Eino, no Sein Tzchar Beiso. If you live in one of the six, you don't have to pay rent. However, Hador B'Shar Ar Halavim, no Sein Tzchar Labalabayas. The Rambam paskins that leaving out the six Ar Miklad special status, but the other cities, you certainly had to pay rent. The way Hilam, again, it sounds like he's sounding like Rashi doesn't talk about taxes. Yeah, that's what the Aruch Laner discusses there in Makkas Yud Gimel and Aleph in 26, Yom Asim Barashi. So he says again that the way we learned that the Rashi talks about paying and Tosa talks about taxes. The question is, what's the Machlokas about? So he says, because the Lashon of Malim is fun. If you look back for a second at the language of the original Mishnah in Source 14, Malim Hayu Schar Alevim. It's a funny language. What is Malim? You lift up, you want, pay, Mishalmim, right? Well, what kind of funny lesson is that? That's what Aruch HaNer says. That's why Tosis chooses to learn to my taxes, because we find such a language by taxes. Malamas, you pay taxes. Okay. And Tosis said that's Rashi said that's why it's talking about the other cities. But okay, to get into detail, at the end, the Aruch HaNer seems to learn that, not like I said before, that even the Tosis agrees, who says you're talking about taxes, but for sure you have to pay rent. I'm not convinced of that for other reasons, but in any event, that's what the Aruch HaNer says, that if you have to pay tax, Tavari have to pay rent. Because maybe not. Anyway, but in any case, we do have a machlokas here between the Tanoim, whether you have to pay, let's learn like Rashi, whether you have to pay rent, okay? Or even like Tosi, you have to pay taxes and perhaps not rent, would strengthen the case, to the Levium. And it's a machlok, again, within the 42 cities, we'll look like the Rambam says you do have to pay rent, but there's another opinion, you don't have to pay rent. And a machlokas, revolves around the question of whether the Levium actually had bona fide ownership, whether they just had the right to live there. Okay, so that's one point. Now we move to something else which relates to this. We'll see the poskim related. Okay, Parshas Kisavo, Parakov Vav Dvarim, starting Pasuk Aleph 27, talks about the mitzvah of Bikurim, bringing your first fruits from your produce, that season's produce, to the Kohen, to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Beginning of Parshas Kisavo, Hayu Kisavo Ha'aretz, etc. And Pasuk Beis of Parakov Vav Dvarim, V'lakachta Mereishis Pri Ha'adomah, you have to take some of your first fruits. Okay, it's the seven minim of Eretz Yisrael, and you bring them and to put them into a basket. You come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you make a declaration. Actually, at least two parts of the mitzvah of Bikurim. Some money a mitzvah counts as two separate mitzvahs. There's bringing the Bikurim, you have to bring these first fruits, and you also have to declare a declaration. It's called Mikra Bikurim. And it says, you have to say the following. He got it. I've come to the, into the land. And the next psukim, say the Kohen would take the tenor, and starting in Pasuk Hey, familiar psukim. Psukim we know from the Pesach Haggadah. Okay, from the Pesach Haggadah. Those are the psukim. Arami Oved Avi, right? We know that those are the psukim that are darshan in the Magid section Haggadah. The four psukim Hey through Ches. Arami, we have a brief synopsis of Jewish history. We're pursued by Lavan and so on. That's how we learn it in the Haggadah. And the Mitzrayim, we went down to Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim, gave us a hard time and we cried out to Hashem. Hashem took us out. Okay, so that's those are the psukim from Mikra Bikurim. And then Pasuk Tes, which we don't say in the Haggadah, by Vena Amokam Azeh, we came to this place, right? This beautiful land, Eretz Zavas Chalav Dvash. And now, Pasuk Yud, Vatoy, the Evasis, Rashis, Priya Adama, I brought my first fruits, Shirasati Hashem, and we bow, and Mesamachta B'chol HaTov, and it says at the end, everyone who does this has to rejoice. Atava Halevi, Agera Sheber Kirbecho. So Rashi writes the following: Parshas Kisavo Perchavov Pasuk Yud Aleph 28. Af Halevi Chayav Bikurim Im Noto B'Socharem. Noto B'Socharem. Remember, we said before the Levim got certain land outside the city. So if they planted or had a garden inside, they planted, they produced first fruits. They had the mitzvah also. However, they had the mitzvah to bring the Bikurim. Do they also have the mitzvah to make that declaration? Says the Toseftan Bikurim, Parak Alav Alachadala 29. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hire of Mayor Omer, Kohanim, and we'll learn that means Levium too, although maybe a difference, but Kohanim, Mevian Velo Korin. They would have to bring Bikurim, yes, the mitzvah Havos Bikurim. I say someone on mitzvah's count on a separate mitzvah. They had to bring the Bikurim if they had any produce. However, Lo Korin, they would not make this declaration. Why? Mipnei shelo notlu chelek ba'aretz, because they didn't get a chelek in the land. And the land, and you look in the text, okay? You look in the text, back in one of the things you say is, in Pasuk Gimel, by the Vos ala Kohen, etc., and you would say, ki vos yel aretz asher nishba shem lakalavosenu lo seis lanu. That's part of your declaration. Is the land which you've given to us, right? Well, they didn't have any land. The same thing in Pasuk Yud. So according to the Tosefta, a Kohen or Levi can't make such a declaration because he didn't have land. He had still a mitzvah of bringing a Bikurim, but not making a declaration. That's Reb Meir, but continues Reb Yossi Vani Omer. But I say no, the Kohanim also had, the Levim also had, and they would make the declaration. Okay, they would make the declaration. That's the Machlokas in the Tosefta. Again, Reb Yossi and Reb Meir. Remember the speakers. A little bit later, the next thing in Parshas Kisavo talks about something called Vidui Meiser. Vidui Meiser, after every 3 years, after following year three and following year six of the 7-year Shemitah cycle, meaning in year four and in year seven, you had to make a declaration that you separate all the correct tithes, Pesach time or Pesach, and it's called Vidui Meiser. As the pasuk says in Parakav Pasuk Beis, right? Kischal Alasis Komasa. It's called Shana Shlishis, right? And you have to give all the proper tithes. And again, you make a declaration. You give a Bamartos National Kecha Biartek Rabbis, etc. I did the mitzvahs. I didn't do what I wasn't supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do. And therefore, in Tezvav Ashkifu and Kachem Hashemah Borech Hashem Chayisom, that's Hadoma Asher Nosato Lonu. So here, it's not a Tosefta. Here, it's a Mishnah. Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni, Parakei Mishnah Yudal 31. The Mishnah says, Mikanam or Yisrael, Umamzerim, including a Mamzer with Herod land, fine. Misvadim would say this video. Avalo Gerim, Velo Avadim Shukharim, the type of Gerim, She'ein Lem Chelek Baret. They can't say that. And guess what? Reb Meir Omer, consistent with what we said before, Aflo Kohanim Levim, Shalo Notlu Chelek Baret. So there you go. That's the same Reb Meir as in the Tosefta, 29, Seftim Bikurim, Parak Avachadala, they Mevin Velo Korin by Mikra Bikurim. They can't make that declaration because they didn't get land. You can't talk about getting land if you didn't get any. But again, Rabbi Yossi Omer disagrees. Yesh Lahem Ari Migrosh, they got those fields. And the Ari Halavim, they did get something. Right? What's the issue? So again, the Bartanur explained to that mission, Maisha Shani Parakai Mishnah Dal 32, Mikan Amo with the Ksiv. That's Hadoma Shem Nosat Alonu, right? The language give you can't make that declaration. But Rabbi Yossi says, Yesh Lahem Ari Migrosh. And Rabbi Yossi, and the Bartur is Aloch Rabbi Yossi. So there you go. That would seem to be the same machlokas about Zion. Did their ownership of those Ari Levim count enough to be able to say, we got a chelek in the land, or no? It's just a base theory that they had the right to live in the same machlokas. And it's not me that's making this connection. It's the Yerushalmi. There's no Bavli in Maaseh Sheni, but the Yerushalmi in Maaseh Sheni, Perek Ha'Halacha 33, the same machlokas, same language. Tani l'machlokas nit the Divrei Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi on a base theory, the same machlokas. Was the land given as a chelek? Hear the word machlokas, mean the chelek? Okay, that's the Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi said, no, just they had the right to live there. And Asi the Yehuda Kerb Yossi, which we're going to marry to the Kedate, and it refers back to that Mishnah Makkos that we saw before in Gimel Aleph, 14, right? It says, the Tanina Malos Hauschal Levim Divrei Yehuda, Biosi Omer Lo Malos Omer Malos. That same Machlokas. The Yerushalmi connects the Machlokas. Okay, and therefore, there, Plain Moshe gives the explanation. Okay, that they didn't get Karka and so on. They had no Chelek. They may have had a place over the word given Chelek in the land. Biosi says, no. Look in the top of the next page, the Plain Moshe there says, Biosi Omer Yeshlan Ari Migosh, Vizel Chelkam Ba'ar. That was their Chelek. And then the next Plain Moshe, he spells it out exactly the Machlokas. And again, the whole problem with the speakers, who's, was it a mayor? Was it a Yehuda? Again, I don't want to go into all that now. It's a Girsa question of who's lining up like whom. And he works out the whole Girsa issue. But the bottom line is, okay, that it's the same Machlokas. So says the Plain Moshe, a few lines at the bottom, the Dimaso Tinil Machlokas, Nino. And the mayor said, it's exactly that's a machlokas. What does it mean that the Levim had that chelek in those 48 cities? It was mamash a chelek, but not really a chelek. And therefore, you don't have to pay rent. And the same question about this issue with Maaseh Sheni. How do we paskin here? Bikurim and Maaseh Sheni. How do we paskin? So in Hilchos Maaseh Sheni, the Rambam paskins Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin. The end of Hilchos Maaseh Sheni. The Rambam writes 35. You saw him there. Misvadim a low gerim of Shabbat Nei Sheni lechelik baritz. And it says Vary Omer is Hadoma Sheni Satana. But the Rambam paskins Kohanim Levim Misvadim Sheafal Pishalo Not Luchelik Baritz Yesh Lahem Ari Migrosh. Rambam paskins once again that they did just like he paskins in the 42 cities you can charge rent. He paskins here too that they can make this declaration. And similarly in Hilchos Bikurim. Paragdal alacha gimel. Okay, Hager may be Vikore. Hager can say it. We'll get back to that problem later. But again, Vichain, the end of Paragdal alacha gimel, end of 36, Vichain Kohanim Levim, Mevin Vikorim, they sheshav Ari Migrosh. Okay, so this same machlokas of what is the status of the ownership. I do want to point out as a side point, it appears that even the Rambam, at least in one regard, may have held that it's not fully and completely their land in the same way. Okay, because we have a parshin re'eh, a section re'eh, 37, parakid gimel psukim yud gimel su yud ches. I'm not going to read it all inside now, but that's talking about what we call the ir hanidachas. Ir hanidachas, a city, as the psukim describe, where all the people come and worship Avodah Zarah. They're all convinced and serve, or most of the people in the city serve Avodah Zarah, and so on. And they were led astray, The Gemara says in one place, according to one opinion, never happened actually, but okay. So Pasuk decide, Hakeis, Hakeis, Soshi, Arahil, if you heard, other people have to come in and wipe out that entire city and destroy the city. Okay, and they're not allowed to take any of the spoils. So the Rambam and Hilchas Avodos Kochab, Hilchas Avodos Zohar, Perek Dal Alecha Dal 38, right? Ein Achas Me'ori Miklot Nasis Ir Hanidachas. An Ir Miklot, even if everyone worships Avodos Zohar Chasom, does not become an Ir Miklot. And also Yerushalayim doesn't become an Ir Miklot, no matter what. Those cities are not subject to laws of Ir Hanidachas. Why? Because Shenemar Bachas Orecha. Okay, look at the opening pasuk in Source 37. Okay, and apparently these were not your cities. Same thing, Yerushalayim was not divided up. Yerushalayim was like, according to one opinion, anyways, it's like Washington, D.C., right? It's near Maryland, near Virginia, but it doesn't belong to either state. It's a separate district. Yerushalayim was a separate district near Binyamin, the territory of Binyamin and Yehuda, but it wasn't. Okay, and we'll talk about Yerushalayim a different time, but that's the Rambam says, and here Miklat also couldn't be because not Achaz Orecha. Says the Rabbi, nice drasha, but doesn't say it anywhere in the Gemara. Right? The Rambam made that up. Okay, he says, Amar Avram, lo yadate ma ayin lo zeh. I don't know where he got that from. Lo nemar gemara ela al Yerushalayim. The more it says about Yerushalayim, yeah, not about the Ar Miklat. I will call Ar Miklat shvatim nitnu la osam michel keim. The Rabbi seems to say, no, it's really the chelek. It was given as a chelek. The Rambam here, to have Ari Migosh, maybe on an individual level, maybe it's not considered the Shevet. Maybe that's what it means. Okay, it's not Achas Orecha because it's not that Shevet Levi as a Shevet had a Chelek. It's an interesting point because the Mishnah says there in Perek Dalav Chadalav because of the Zohar 39, the Das Rabbeinu Shema Achas Shenosel Asom Mechalkeim Enam Yuchadon Osel Lo Kriyim Basho Orecha. Okay, once it was given to them, it's not really part of it. That's what I think he means. Not really part of your, it's just a she'orecha, not she'orecha, but orecha. And not really your cities as a shevet. I'm not sure, but it's an interesting point. Okay, but let's move over now, finally, to something that's halacha lemaisa. I put in the title of the shiur, okay, owning land in Eretz Yisrael and Birchas Hamazon are Kohanim and Levi are included. Well, as far as owning land, we saw it's a machlokas whether Kohanim and Levi are included. What about Birchas Hamazon? Okay. We'll see what it has to do with it in a second. Again, this is Nogei Lemaisa. The Mishnah Bracha starts on Chaf and Aleph, says, Noshim v'odim k'tanim p'turim from certain mitzvahs. Women are exempt from certain mitzvahs that we know. On our days, the Mishnah continues v'chayavim, but they're obligated in certain things, including Birchas Hamazon. Okay, Rashi there says in 41, the Gemara is going to discuss what is the Rais of the Rabbanim. Fine. We'll get that in 1 second. Okay. Why would we think the women are exempt from Birchas Hamazon? It's not time-bound. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us women are required to bench? So the Gemara mentions that based on a pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, when the mon first began to fall, Perek Tezayin of Shmos Pasuk Ches, it says, "Beseis Hashem Lachem Bo Erev Bosal Lecho, Lechem Baboker Lisbo." It talks about times when people eat evening and morning. So the Gemara says, "The brachas Chop and Beis 43 Brachas Hamaz Pshita." Of course, women have to bench. Why in the world not? No, Ma'u the same a whole Ksi Beseis Hashem Lachem Bo Erev Bosal Lecho. No, I might have thought it's like since people eat at fixed times, it's like a time by mitzvah. Let's tell us not. Okay. But then, as Rashi promised, the Gemara asks the following: Amale Ravina Larava, that which we said that Noshim Brikas Hamazon, Doraisa Darbonin, that which we said in the Mishnah, women have to bench, that Doraisa Darbonin. Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamin, who cares? So one Nafkamin is Lafuke Rabbi De Chavosin. Can a woman bench on behalf of a man and be motzi somebody else? You can only be motzi someone else in a mitzvah if you're on the same level of obligation as that person. Okay? So let's say Friday night kiddush. Technically, women have to make kiddush. So a woman could not be motzi a man in kiddush because they have the same level of obligation. But other mitzvahs, a woman can't be motzi. A woman, let's say, sitting in a sukkah, whatever, can't be motzi a man in the bracha and sukkah because she's not on the same level of obligation. So that's a question, the Raisa the Rabbanon. Okay? And the Gemara spells that. She says it's the Raisa, she can be motzi someone's the Raisa. Someone's not the Rabbanon. She can only be motzi someone's the Rabbanon. But what's the tut stodim with the suffix? So Rashi spells out there in Brachos Chafim Beis 44. Rashi spells out, Noshim Brachos Hamazon in the Raisa. Why would we think that women are obligated to the Raisa? Well, Nechsiv Echalta V'Savata. What do you mean? It says, you eat your Seisha, you have to bench. Echalta V'Savata Rachta. V'Havalei Mitzah Seisha, Ein Azman Groma. Whenever you eat your Seisha, you have to bench. So of course, women, that's a Pasuk Chumash. I printed in Source 45, Eker. V'Arim Perches, Pasuk Yud, Echalta V'Savata Rachta. So that applies to women too. They're the Raisa. On the other hand, or no, maybe it's Rabbanan. Next Rashi there in Brachos Chafim Beis Od Rabbanan. Tichsiv ala oretz hatova asher nasam lo. Oh, the end of the pasuk, "V'chalta v'zodar achlas Hashem kecha la'aretz atova she'nosalah ve'aretz lo nitalek nekevus ischalek." Women did not inherit land. Okay, and I says Rashi, "Tell me the benos tzavchot chelak aviyem heim denotul shayom yotz mitzvahim." They just simply were in place of their father. They inherited the land of the father. Really, the father inherited. And they were instead. That's you look in Parshas Pinchas. Last week said when we were introduced to the Benos Tzavchot, right? Perch of Zayin. Amashem Posik Vav. Amashem Moshe Moshe. Kain Benos Tzavchot. Dovros and Tong. Tenu Lema Chuz Nachal Besoch. Besoch Achei Avim. End of the Posik Zayin. Vavartos Nachalas Avihen Lohen. It's their father's Nachalot. Not really theirs. And that's the din. And this week said also, very end of Parshas Masay. Perch Lamed Vav. Posik Alev. Rav Eikur Rosh Havos. The family of the Menashe came forward, and the pasuk reads, "Vayom Raimus Adonai Tziva Hashem Laseis Etz Aretz Benachol Begar Levin Yisrael Adonai Tziva Hashem Laseis Etz Nachos Tzofchad Achino Levinosav." We had to give our brother Tzofchad's stuff to his daughters. It's really their chelik. Okay, so women don't have a chelik in the land, and that's why I might have thought, and we do it. The Gemara leaves it as a bayda of shita. We don't know. A woman chayav in benching the raisa drabanan the raisa because it says v'chalta v'savat v'rachta. That seems to apply to women as well. On the other hand, Darabana, because maybe it's only on a derisa level, it's only Alaret HaTovah, Shem Nosalach. Women didn't inherit, but Nosalach was an exception. Tosus is bothered by this analysis of Rashi. Tosus there in Brachas Chop and Reis 48, Dilma Sinoshin, quotes Rashi, Pirsha Kuntris. But then he's got a problem. One second. The Tema. If Rashi is right, that the reason why you might think that women are only Chayab, or perhaps some do think, the women are Chayab and benching only Darabana because they didn't inherit land, guess what, says Tosus? The Tema, Kohanim and Levim Nami Taboi. Should raise the same question. Do Kohanim and Levim have to bench Daraisa? And a big nafkamin, again, to be able to lead the Mizumah to bench for others. Right? Tosus says, according to you, Rashi, that the reason why women may only be Chayav Midrabanan is they didn't inherit land. Well, guess what? You say the same thing about Kohanim and Levim. Okay? Shari lo not luchay paaretz. Im kei lo yotziu achem adei chavosim b'chas amazon. So therefore, this prompts Tosus to say that's not the reason why women are exempt possibly on a deraisa level. Nothing to do with inheriting land. It's because they're phrased in benching, which don't apply to women. It says, "Val brischa shechasam tiv sareinu." You mentioned bris milah, right? Alshin chalav tana. It says, "Val brischa shechasam tiv sareinu." And then, "Val torosha shlemata talmud." This is a Talmud Torah. It's applied to women. And those are integral parts of benching. Tosus points out, the Gemara says in Brachos, Mem Tesav Aleph, 49, Rabbi Abba Omar, "Kol she'ena Omar bris shetar b'brichas aretz." U'machos b'tov r'sham lo yotzele chavoso. We have a Rabbi Law said the same thing, right? You have to mention that. That's an integral part of benching. So says Tosis, since mentioning Bris and Torah is an integral part of benching, and women are not included in Bris and Torah and so on, or in the same way as men, that's why some hold that women only have to draw bonon. But nothing to do with inheriting the land. It can't be, says Tosis. The reason cannot be that women are chayav, are put to me the rise of benching because they didn't inherit land. Because if that's the case, then Kohanim and Levi would also be put the rise of from leading the benching. They'd only be Chayav Darbana. Sure, they'll be Chayav Darbana. Everyone's Chayav Darbana. But you wouldn't be able to be Motzi. And usually it's the coin that leads the benching, right? So we go up for the coin. So the Tosas therefore rejects that whole line of thinking. Okay, and therefore gives a different reason. The Tosas are Rosh, there in Brachas, Chofmud Beis, okay, raises the question 50. Raises the name Rabbeinu Chanan, one of the Balei Tosfos, the same question. But then he says, "Va'od Hiksha," and he links it to what we studied before. "Va'od Hiksha mehod etanim etosefta biyosi omer har meomer kohanim aviv alo karin shel not lechay baaretz vani omer kashen shel not lo avim kein not lo kohanim hashtel Rab Meir heichotzia kohanim lachem b'vichas hamazon." The Tosfos of Rosh suggests maybe it goes back to this same machlokas. Okay. I could answer for Rashi very simply. Rashi, Tosfos asks Rashi, "What are you talking about? How can you say that women are potter deraisa from benching because they didn't inherit land? So according to you, Kohanim and Levim also should be potter from benching deraisa chayvon garbanon." So Rashi can answer, "What do you mean? Kohanim and Levim got the land in the Ari Levim. They got the 48 cities. So they did get land." So the Tosfos says, "No, but it may revolve around that same machlokas. What does it mean that they got land? Okay, did they actually get it as an ownership? Like that same Nekudas HaMachlokas was before. But the way Tosfos Rosh doesn't say it that way, but that's what he's driving at. But according to a mayor who says that you don't have to pay rent, right? That's the way we're reading. According to a mayor who says you don't have to pay rent, right? Or he didn't talk about the rent, but he talks about not the rent, but about the Bikurim. But we already linked them, right? The Kohanim can't make that declaration. This is our land, right? Therefore, they won't make the Mikra Bikurim. Sorry, the Tosafot doesn't bring up the rental issue; brings up the Mikra Bikurim issue. But we saw it's the same issue. Okay, so the Tosafot says according to a mayor, it's a big question: how can Kohanim lead benching? Okay, according to us, it's not a problem. We pass Kalibiosi that they do have to pay rent and that they do have to say Mikra Bikurim, so they had to leave the benching also. According to him, it's a big problem. Okay. So he says the Yeshomrim, it's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with Bris and Torah, like we mentioned before. Okay. Anyway, that's the Tosa Rosh. The Mordechai, there in Brochus, the third parak, it's Remes Samech Beis, quotes the same and he links it to the situation in Makkas. Okay, as well, he links it to the Bikurim, and he also links it only to, sorry, he doesn't, he only links it to the Bikurim question, but he says like Tosas, the same thing, okay, the Mordechai says like Tosas, that they're chayav in benching, but he says a reason why, because of the inheritance of the land. I do want to say for full disclosure, the Shilta Geborim on the Rif has a fascinating comment. A staggering comment, actually. There in Brochus, Yud Aleph and Beis, the page of the Rif 52. Osches, the Shilta Gevarim. Kohanim Leviim, Leperish Rashi, Ein on Chayavim, Bebrichas Hamazon. That's what he says. Shilta Gevarim says that according to Rashi, Take, Kohanim Leviim are not Chayav, Midarais, Bebrichas Hamazon. I mean, that's astounding, but that's what he says. Now, Leperish Atosa, Mordechai Chayavim. Again, we could answer for Rashi that what are you talking about? They got land. But the mere fact that Tosas did not give that answer, right? Go back to the Tosas in 48. Tosas didn't say, Tosas asked against Rashi, what do you mean that women are chayav only, are potter mentioned the rice, chayav only to Rabbanon because they didn't get land? So in that case, Kohanim Levim also should be the same din. So Tosas could have answered, okay, but the Kohanim Levim got land, but Tosas didn't answer that. Tosas gets out a different way. He says about Bris and Torah. Didn't, because apparently Tosas maybe holds to the Taka didn't get land, according to Rashi. They didn't want to give that answer. Maybe he held that the Taka didn't get land. I'm not sure. But maybe that's why Chokas Rashi and Tosas in terms of how to Paskin. And again, it may depend on who the speakers are, the whole Girsa question. But it could be that Tosas, by not giving that answer, the Mordechai, by not giving that answer, they gave a different answer. Okay, why the Kohanim and Leviim are Chayiv, because they are Shayach to Bris and Torah, women or not. But since they didn't give that other answer, maybe the Shilta Gevarim is right. Kohanim Leviim Lepirish Rashi, Ein Achayav Bebrichas Hamazon. I don't want to say Lepirish Rashi because Rashi can get out of it. But certainly the way Tosas understood Rashi, and Tosas didn't give an answer. What do you mean? They had land. They had the Ari Leviim. Tosas didn't give that tariff. According to Tosas, maybe it's not enough. Shilta Gevarim held it. That's what Rashi held as well. You look at the Rashba, there in Brochas Chofmed Beis, rather, you ask the boy Mine. So he raises a question with regards to, according to Rashi and so on, he raised, what about Gerim? What about a convert? A convert doesn't have to bench Darais? The same question. They also didn't get land. Okay? And so he gives a different, he doesn't discuss Kohanim and Leviim, but he discusses Gerim. And he gives an answer, he says, but it'll work for Kohanim and Leviim too. He gives an answer, you know, Gerim belong to the class of people. Men are Nutlu Chedek Baritz. Yes, there's some men who maybe didn't, but the class of men, the class called men did inherit. And the class of women didn't inherit, even though there's some women, no Sokhar, who did. So therefore, it goes by the general classification. That's what he says. The Gerim are part of the class of people, namely men, who did inherit. They didn't. Okay, but that's enough for them to say, that they can make that statement. Whereas women, even the Rosh Chafot, still can't make that statement. That's Rosh Bo's Teretz. I'm saying you could give that Teretz to Rashi too. I'm a Fatos of Kash against Rashi too about the Kohanim Leviim. Kohanim Leviim belong to the class of people, namely men, who did get a chelik, even though they might not have. You want to give that answer. Okay, so you don't have to say like the Shilta Geborim. The Tzach, in Brachas Chofen Beis Maskel Noshim Birkas Hamazon, he asked the question about Kohanim, and he applies, it wasn't me, he applies the Rashbo's Teretz to the Kohanim Leviim also. Okay, but quite a number of other authorities say you don't have to give any of these fancy terutzim. Okay, you don't have to give any fancy. The Rashash, for example, there in Brachas Chofen Beis, Vomasko Tosa Divan Hashem, Tosa is Kashi. What do you mean? It's not a question. Okay, he says he quotes Hagos Hashri, and he quotes the Madan Yotev, Okay, we know the Tosefta, the Kohanim Levim did make the Mikra Bikurim because they got land, so they can give that Torah. It's very simple. Because he doesn't understand why no, you know, Tosis forgot about that. You know, very difficult. The Rosh is in Brachas Par Gimel, Simen Yud Gimel. He simply quotes the Gemara about Noshim, said, Agos Ashri. And that Gemara, that Rosh in Brachas Par Gimel, Simen Yud Gimel, 57, writes, he says that that question, and he says, one second, he quotes the Tosis, and he says, actually, just quotes the Tosis. He doesn't really give the answer, but the Madonna Yantav on the bottom of the Rosh, in Os Kuf, there, Paragimel, Simeon Gimel, Os Kuf, he gives the Torah. Says, oh, they did get it. Look at the end of the Tosis Yantav. Tosis, Madonna Yantav, same author. But Kohanim Levim, Lo Kasha, Shahar Elohim, Mem Chesarios, they had Ayoros, they had those cities. It's not a problem altogether. Ramban brings up an interesting point. Ramban is not here, but Ramban is in Bava Basra. Kiddushim Ramban Basra, Bava Basra, to pay Aleph and Aleph 59. Ramban makes an interesting point. Right? He asks about Gerim and so on, and he talks about Kohanim and Levim. And he says, we know that Kohanim have to bench for sure. Not only have to bench, but they have to bench Doraisa. Because he refers to a Gemara in Brachas. Mem Tesem and Aleph, unusual Gemara. Gemara has a discussion between Reb Zeir and Reb Chista. Amar Reb Zeir, Reb Chista, Nesi Mar Liz, let's go learn. So Chista answered him, I don't even know how to bench. You want to learn with me? He says, what do you mean I don't know how to bench? And apparently he benched. He didn't mention Bris and Torah in the benching. Okay. So that's Reb Chista. So there's, why was Reb Chista leading the benching? So the Ramban says there's an earlier Gemara in Brachas, Mem Dalam Aleph 61, which says Reb Chista was a Kohen. Talks about his daughters being the daughters of Kohen. Gemara mentions there was a certain city where a bunch of Kohen men married a bunch of girls who were Kohanim sisters. Kohanim brothers married Kohanim, Bas Kohen sisters, and among them were the daughters of Reb Chista. Okay. And obviously the daughters of Reb Chista are Kohanim, the fathers are Kohen. So says the Ramban, well, Avada, the Reb Chista was a Kohen. And yet he led the benching. So the proof that they have to bench a Raisa, presumably because they got those cities. That's what we come out the same machlokas. Shulchan Aruch leaves it as a seker, you know, a Baidel of Shita. You look at the Shulchan Aruch, Aruchayim, Simon Kuf, Pei Vav, Sifal 63. Noshim chayavs birkas hamozim, besofek buhim chayavs raisa, umotzias hanoshim, or v'enu chayavs l'madrabanan, v'enu motzias elamishen of chibel of drabanan. The Tosis actually leaves it as a suffix with a chayv d'raisa d'rabbanan. The Magen Avraham in Sifkat Nalav, the Mishmur in Sifkat Beis, 64 and 65, both say it's because of the chedek baritz. But both of them say, Abel Kohanim Levim, Ahava Lahem Ari Migrash, right, based on that Madar Yontef, and I go, so they had the Ari Migrash, Ari Levim, that counts. Mishmur says the same thing, okay? So that's the, seems to be the consensus. Okay, one other ha'ara may be a difference. Maybe by women, a little different in terms of land. Maybe they got land, women got land, but there's something else. And this is along the lines of what we said before, the class of people like that Rashba. Gemara says, and Mishnah says, Yavam Masamachem Beis, a side point. Mishnah says, men are obligated in Puravu, not women. Obviously, women are necessary, but they're not obligated. A man has to look to get married to a Kayim Puravu, and one doesn't want, doesn't have to. Okay, and Rashi, the Gemara explains why. Why? Samachem Beis in Gemara in 68 in Yavamas, and not immediately because the Pasuk says, and I quoted the Pasuk in Bereshis, Parak Aleph, Pasuk of Aleph, when it says, Puravu, Vayvarcha, Son Elokim, Vayvalem Elokim, Puravu, Milu Arts, Vechiv Shuha, conquer, till the land, Vechiv Shuha, and conquer it. Rashi there in Bereshis, Parak Aleph, Pasuk of Chaz, explains, Kim Shuha, Odol Amencha, Sha'ish, Shadarko, Lichbosh, Mitzuva, Alpir, Rivila, Isha. My women are not obligated. Women aren't conquerors by nature. It doesn't mean that some women don't fight, and some men do, and women, some women do fight, some men don't. But overall, men are in the class of people are b'kiv shuha, they conquer. So in terms of land in Eretz Yisrael, this is the Mishnah Yaakov makes the point in the Tshuva, printed in 73, Or Chaim Simon Tzadivov. He says, when it comes to settling Eretz Yisrael, part of the mitzvah is to conquer. He quotes a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud Aleph, Dorm Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Ki Atem Ovim Esa Yarde, Lavol Eretz Yisrael, Asher Hashem Lekanes Nochem, B'Yishtem Asov Yishavtem, you have to drive out the enemies, and that's really here in our Parshat, in Masei, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Nun, okay, by the Rosh Hashem, Shabbat, Smog, Yadei, Nechalot, Dabre, when he saw it, you're going into land, Beho Rosh, Tem, Es Kol Yosher, to drive out, by the Ramban, by the way, the Yom Chomish said, that's a mitzvah, say, one of the Tariq mitzvahs applies even today to settle Eretz Yisrael. A different discussion, but the point is part of the mitzvah of land in Eretz Yisrael is conquering the land. That's not applicable to women. That's what the Mishkan's Yaakov says. But that's why he says in 73, Mashahikshu Mikohanim Levim, Yesh Lomar, the Hanal Kalponim and Ekibush Ninu. They would fight, they'd be in a battle. But women not. Okay. Just to finish, so what we see is that this machlokas And a question about benching may really revolve around the same question. What was the status or what was the nature of the Ari Levium in terms of Levium living there? Did they actually own it as a chelek ba'aretz? Leaving out the Mishnah Yaakov's point about conquest. Did they own it, a mamish ownership? Or no, they had the right to live this. Might have a nafkamina. We had a nafkamina for being able to charge rent. They had a nafkamina for able to make the declaration of mikra bikurim. They had a nafkamina for being able to make the declaration of vidim meiser. A possible nafkamina whether it can become an er miklat. And also a possible nafkamina whether the requirement to bench would be daraisa. There might be other reasons, but according to some, that's a question whether women have to bench daraisa. I mean, I'm sorry, whether Kohanim and Levim have to bench daraisa. Well, we assume they do. But may revolve a little bit to some extent around this question as well, what the nature of their ownership of the land was. I just wanted to finish up of Soloveitchik. I printed in 78 from the Rishima Shiurim and Brachos Chof Medbeis. Actually, comes it was originally written in the articles that, in the Kovetz Chidushe Torah from Rabbi Shabir, from the Rav and from his father Moshe Soloveitchik, about Ger, maybe Bikari and so on. But the Rabbi Rechman summarized it here. Okay, asked a number of questions. First of all, in terms of Gerim, so the Rambam Paskin in the Mishnah says in Bikurim, Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalet 74, okay, the Ger is maybe the Eino Kore, because he can't say, Asher Nishba Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Lavoseinu Loseis Lano. The land was promised to our ancestors, not his ancestors. Ancestors Goyim, he's a Ger. Okay, but a woman can be maybe below Kore, but not for that same reason. Rather, because they can't say, like we saw before, that's my land. Okay, so a woman can't be doing Mikra Bikurim, it's in own land. Okay. About women we're talking about now. Now, others disagree. The Yerushalmi quote in Bikurim, Perek Aleph Halacha Daled 76 quotes a Braisa that says that a ger can be maybe Bikori. What do you mean? How can he say the land was promised to my ancestors? It wasn't his ancestors? No. It goes back to a Pasuk in Parashat Lech Lecha, Bereish Perek Gidzayin, Pasuk Hey, when Avram's name was changed to Avraham, it says, Leikarish Oj Shimcha Avram, Oshimcha Avraham, you are the father of all nations. So therefore, it goes back to Avram. He's the father of all nations, including Gerim, so they can say that line. Okay. Now, and therefore, as a Pnei Moshe, that's a different than that's arguing with the Mishnah that says that the Ger can't make that declaration. So the Rav discussed that at some length, and he says as follows. He says, you know, why did they have to give that reason? That's what he asked. Okay. He starts with the Rashi in Brachas, right? Rashi says that women don't have a chelik in the land. And what about Kohanim and Levim and so on? So you can answer because of Bris and Torah. So Tosa the Tzarchim, Tosa Lama Bamis Lomniftu Nashu Kohanim because I was Mishum Zalda Chelibaritz. Okay. Tosa never answered. The Taka should be Potter, like the Shulta Gaborim said. Okay. Why did Tosa have to, what's wrong with the other answer? Taka their Potter. Like Rashi says, like Tosan and Sunrashi, who says that's wrong? No, maybe that's right. Maybe Taka Kohanim Levim. Yes, Kohanim Levim. Kohanim Levim. Yes, so maybe they Taka Potter also, like the Shulchan Aruch said according to that Shita. Maybe that's the din. And furthermore, the Rav asked regarding Bidui Meiser and so on. Okay, so we saw some of these dinim. And again, the Rav wondered also on the back page why they had to bring up the other reasons. Okay, my time is still at Tanakama, the Ger Eino Kore. Why did he have to say that Ger can't say the declaration because he can't say my father, right? Lavo said he can't say my answer. Let him say because he didn't get a chelik in the land. Okay? And Rabbi Hudu said, no, he can say my ancestors because of Avraham Avinu, but what do you mean? He didn't get any land. Okay? And he says the Rambam Paskin's one way because Bikurim talked about Kohanim different. Okay, I can't read everything now. But he says as follows. Look in the next paragraph. Ubir Marin Hagram, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that's all. The Eish Beis Dinim, here's a surprise, Beis Dinim, Benetilas Chelek Ba'aretz. Wrap up with this. There are two Dinim regards to inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. Aleph, Din Zchia Be'eretz Yisrael, Aideizah Shenichlolim, Yizchus Shal Avrom, Avinu Be'eretz Yisrael, V'din Eretz Yisrael, Muchzeket Sibi Adenim Evoseinu, Gemara Baba Basra, that he quotes, that Jews have a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael going back to Avrom Avinu. So therefore, every Jew has a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael because he's a descendant of Avrom Avinu, maybe including Gerim too. Then Beis Din Zechiah Midin Yerusha B'Yeshiva from the Kibush of Yoshua, Komakwa Shetudur Kafar Agachem and so on. Right. In other words, he says there's two things. There's Eretz Yisrael Muchzekes Mavoseinu. Anybody who's from Zer Avram, has a share in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. And then what about people who are? Then there's also share in Eretz Yisrael with the people who are connected to the Kibush and the settlement of land, owning land. So therefore, Even though Gerim and women, neither of them got land in the land, but it's a very different reason. Women are from Zer Avram. They're descendants of Avram. And therefore, they're included in Eretz Yisrael Mukhzeh Kasim of Oseinu. And they're part of the Haftochot Avram. Okay? However, they don't get a chelek because they're excluded from Kibush, like we said before. But Gerim, okay, Gerim, you could say the other round. They're part of Kibush, but they're not part of Zer Avram. Okay? And so therefore, he says, and he uses that to answer the Rambam. And for our issue here, look towards the bottom. Ulefi zeh, said the Rav, and this is very sharp. When it comes to benching, what's the key line? Okay, what's the key line? All right. When it comes to benching, we say no delcha aharz no delcha asherin chalta laboseinu. The key nekuda in terms of benching, look at the second last paragraph. Lefi zeh yesh lomar debebirchas hamazon amrina asherin chalta laboseinu. Like Reader Meiser. So therefore, Tosus holds. That's what Tosus is getting at. Okay? Right. Even without saying that the Ari Miklat were yours altogether, okay? But women have to bench because. And therefore, women can say, so even though they didn't get land, but they didn't get land because of a different technicality. Okay? Now, as far as Kohanim and Levim are concerned, so they, you know, whether or not they own the land, they didn't own the land, you don't need all this lumdus, according to what the Rav is saying. They're part of Asher and Chalat al-Avoseinu. Okay, look at the last paragraph. Near the high time of Nami, Kohanim Levim Mevarchem Berachas Hamazon. Afal Prishon Not Lechelik Baris. Even if you want to insist like the other sheep, that no, they didn't really own the land in the Ari Levim; they just had the right to live there. Still, Harayim Bichal Aritzom Muchzek Kizim Avosenu. Lachen Yichol Omar Shin Chatal Avosenu. Okay, so that's by Berachas Hamazon. That's how the Rav said again. You can look through it or see another articles that he wrote. But according to what he's saying, you don't need to come on to any. Even if you want to insist. Not like we saw that the Ari Migrash and the Ari Levim, they taka owned it with full ownership. They could charge rent and they could say Mikabikum. Even without that, they're included because benching emphasizes the connection to Eretz Yisrael via Alshin Chaltal Avoseinu. And therefore, anybody who comes from Avram Avinu, including women, including Kohanim and Levim, would be obligated to bench with their eyes. So that's how Salavachi resolved the issue. Okay, something to think about, an interesting question. I wish everybody a good Shabbos, and we'll meet again, Bez Hashem, next week.